aforetime are written for our learning. And I want us to remember them. Exodus chapter 23. Look at verse 14. 23:14. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread, as I commanded thee, at the time appointed in the month Abib, for in it thou camest out of Egypt. And none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou sowest in thy field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when thou gatherest in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. You see, here in each group of feasts, when they appear, I will tell you this, in the first month of their year, their religious year, it began on the 14th day at sunset. That was when the Passover was sacrificed. Immediately when the sun went down, the 15th day began, and that was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the next day, the 16th, was the Feast of First Fruits. So notice, they cut, as we'll see, they reap the first fruits and offer them to the Lord. Now, chapter 34. And I will read you the feasts, and then it will tell us about them. Verse 18. The feast of unleavened bread shalt thou keep. Look at verse 22. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, even the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Three times in the year shall all thy males appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. And look up at verse 20. All the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. Deuteronomy 16. Verse 16. And then I will show you the other verses connected with it. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. God has told you three times that all the males are to appear three times. Notice it says, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given. Now, I can tell you the significance of unleavened bread from the New Testament, but let's see what it means first of all in the Old Testament. Look at verse 3 in chapter 16. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of thy life. And that is why it is so significant. I can remember the day I came out of the land of Egypt, March the 27th, 1946. And it says, they were to remember the day they came out of Egypt from the power of Pharaoh to the power of God, the day of deliverance. So, do you know that day when you came out? Do you look back and say, once I was blind, but now I see? Not that I want you to remember that. All right, now turn to Leviticus chapter 23, because the feasts the get-togethers have been mentioned briefly in Exodus 23, Exodus 34, and Deuteronomy 16. In Leviticus chapter 23, all the feasts are placed here next to one another, side by side, as they occur. So look in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, The set feasts of the Lord, or the appointed season, God has certain seasons when he wanted his people to come together, the set feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Now, what do those big words mean? Holy convocation. A convocation is when people come together. And when they come together, it is a holy coming together. A holy convocation is when Israel is gathered for a distinct holy purpose. I didn't think I was saying all of that. All right. So look now at verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of work. It is a Sabbath unto the Lord your God in all your dwellings. Now, verse 4. These are the set feasts of the Lord, even the holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their appointed season. So there are three distinct times when God tells the children of Israel to come together. They have to come for at least three of the feasts, but there are seven of the feasts. But remember, if you come at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you will be there at the Passover because the Passover began just 2 or 3 hours before the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And if you're there for the Feast of Unleavened Bread to keep it 7 days, the next day after the beginning of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is the Feast of First Fruits. So if you go the first time, you get 3 of the feast. And then 50 days later, they go again, and it's the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost means the 50th day. And then you wait until the 7th month, and there was a feast on the first day. They did not have to appear then. The 10th day, they did not have to appear then. But when you came to the 15th day, all the males had to appear again. But some of them would do this. They would go the first of the 7th month and include the blowing of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and then they would be there ready to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. So keep those things in mind as best you can. All right, let's look for a moment and see what it says about this first feast in the 5th verse. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which the Lord, even the bread unto the Lord, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. Now, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you have come into the land which I give unto you, and you shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall you bring the sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath the priest shall wave it. Now I have to tell you a little bit about this feast, because it doesn't give us the date. But I told you it occurred on the 16th. I know that the Feast of the Passover occurred on the 14th, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread occurred on the 15th, and if you check with the Jewish authorities, you'll find that this Feast of First Fruits occurred on the 16th. And you say, how do you know that? Because the Jews saw to it that 70 days before the Feast of the Passover, in their 11th month, and the fourth day, they planted the seed. And always, if things went according as God was having to go, when the 14th day came, they were able to take that first fruit and offer it unto God. So they celebrated the Passover on the 14th, under the bread the 15th, and the first fruit on the 16th. Now, let's look at the other one. The other one is 50 days later. That comes on the third month and the fifth day, verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall there be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath you shall number 50 days. That's what Pentecost means, and this is what God is explaining. And you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 part of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven for first fruits unto the Lord. And ye shall present with the bread 7 lambs without blemish, a year old, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meal offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And then it goes on and gives you the other sacrifices that will be offered. But if you think I'm burdening you now with all of this information, if I had sufficiently of time, we would turn to Numbers 28 and 29 and find that in addition to what they're telling us here, they began this last feast with so many bullocks and so many other animals the first day, the next day, the next day, the next day, until the 8th day. And this is the way that feast was kept. So, let's look now at this last feast. Look at verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this 7th month is the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. We'll see what that means in a moment. A Feast of Booths, yes. It shall be kept for 7 days unto the Lord. 35. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. 7 days shall you offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation. Now, this is distinct. We have feasts of 1 day, feasts of 7 days, and now here is another observance after the 7 days on the 8th day. This has to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, look at verse 39. Howbeit on the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruits of the land, you see, it's harvest. You have gathered in the fruits of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn feast, rest, and on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. Now, this is what it means by the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. This is what they were to do. You shall take you on the first day of the fruit of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generation. You shall keep it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths. Think of that. They made little houses out of palm branches and branches of trees, and they are to dwell in those booths 7 days. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths. Why? That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the set feast of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we're so glad that having delivered, redeemed the children of Israel, you did not leave them to themselves, that you organized them, and you gave them a place of worship, and you gave them times of worship. Certain days that were special, our God, the Sabbath day, the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, you had special times for the children of Israel. We thank you for that, our God. What it meant to them, we can apply for ourselves, and then also the prophetical significance in these feasts. And all of them have to do with harvest. And Father, you told us about harvest from the very beginning, and we desire to learn the significance of them more this night. So bless us with that end. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now, at every feast, there was a harvest, a reaping. The first one, on the 16th day of the first month. The next one, on the 50th day after that feast. In the third month, the 5th day. And then finally, the last harvest. Please notice, the last harvest at the end gathering of the year, here again, had been a reaping, and all of these harvests were to be observed. What is so significant is the way that God can give daily, historical, geographical commandments, feasts, and ceremonies to be observed, and not only are they significant to the nation of Israel, but they have a prophetical significance as well. And I will tell you, and then it will be so evident, you will say, why, of course. The first speaks about on the 16th day, the very first harvest, the first fruits. And you say, well, what does that mean, that very first harvest? It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, it says, now is Christ risen, the first fruit of him that slept. So the very first harvest depicts the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection from the dead. You say, God placed it here. Yes. You see, after his death on the 14th day, he was raised on the 3rd day, 14th, 15th, 16th. And these Jews, without realizing it, had a perfect calendar showing when their Messiah was to be crucified, showing when their Messiah was to be raised from the dead. Now, the other one also, if you do a little thinking, should prove to be easy to figure out. Because on the 50th day, again, sacrifices and offerings were presented to God, but one in a special way that would be incomprehensible because of the instructions given as to what is to be offered to God and what is not to be offered to God. God specifically says in Leviticus chapter 2, you shall not offer any unleavened, any leavened bread with fire upon my altar. God said, leavened bread is absolutely forbidden to be offered upon my altar with fire. Well, what is happening here when God says, if you look at it for a moment, I want you to see the significance of it, in chapter 23, it says, a new, verse 16, the last, you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation two weight loaves of 2/10 part of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven for first fruits unto the Lord. You say, you just told us that the first fruits were Christ. Yes. But there is another first fruit, and you'll find it in the epistle of James. It speaks of Christ in 15:20 of 1 Corinthians, the first fruits of them that slept, but James says that God hath made us a kind of first fruit. And the second first fruit is a picture of the formation of the church. Why? Because if you read in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost is the day that the Spirit of God came down from heaven who proceeded from the Father and was sent from heaven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, the Jews, one loaf, and the Gentiles, another loaf, were offered unto God. But please notice that these are leavened loaves. And any time you ever find a meal offering with leaven, it is not the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something else. And you will notice that these two leavened loaves are not burnt upon the altar in the fire. They are simply offered unto God. The two loaves at one time presented to God, lifted up before Him, and it happens on the day of Pentecost. Now, that should not be too difficult to figure out, and I'll let you see it. Turn to Ephesians 2, Ephesians chapter 2, because just as I told you, that 1 Corinthians 15:20 was Christ, the first fruit of them that slept, so also in Ephesians 2, this is the spiritual interpretation of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that once you the Gentiles in the flesh that are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, the Jews, in the flesh made by hand, that you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both one. Notice, not just the Gentiles, but the Gentiles and the Jews. He made them both one. And these two loaves were not lifted, one, and then at another time the other. They were lifted up together, which is a picture of the Jew and Gentile, though distinct, yes, Gentiles, Jews, yet God has made them spiritually one. Look at verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man. So, God has pictured Christ the first fruit at that first fruit feast. 50 days later, he has another harvest that is called first fruit, and that pictures the formation of the church. There is one more feast, and notice, it occurs at the very last, at the final ingathering, when there are, according to Leviticus chapter 23, when all the harvests have been ingathered, and that is when this feast of tabernacles is kept. Now, what could that be? It says this. It says, Christ the first fruits. That was on the third day, and then you have the church formed, but the church has been formed of Jew and Gentile, and God has been saving souls and adding them to that body that is pictured in the two loaves from the day of Pentecost, and he shall continue to save souls until finally the last soul shall be saved, and that is when the final harvest shall take place. And it says this in 1 Corinthians 15:22, Christ the first fruit, then they that are Christ at his coming. And so you say, well, the last resurrection spoken of here is the resurrection of all the people of God that have been saved by Christ. And that is what God is telling. And that is why when people tell us that the Bible is filled with error, you cannot trust that it's put together by man, I ask you the question, how could anybody put in Leviticus chapter 23 the very time when Christ was going to be raised from the dead, the very time when the church was going to be formed, and also tell us when the final resurrection is going to take place? But God has said it all before, and these are the feasts. I wanted to tell you that spiritual, prophetical significance of it, first of all. Now, let me show you how, in a physical sense, the nation of Israel had been remitted. Turn to Nehemiah. Turn to the book of Nehemiah. Chapter 8. Now, look at verse 3, 8:3. And the word of God is being read. He read therein before the fourth place. They read from early morning until midday in the presence of all the people. And then you have the servants of God standing up, making the people, look at verse 7 at the last, made the people to understand the law. And they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and they gave the sense so that they understood the reading. Now, when they read that, they discovered that the thing that is to occur is this Feast of Tabernacles. Now, look at verse 13. And on the second day were gathered together the heads of the fathers' houses of all the peoples, the priests, the Levites, and to Ezra the scribe, to give attention to the words of the law. And they found written in the law how that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Here are the scriptures, and they read in them, and they discover now that it was written that they should keep this Feast of Tabernacles and dwell in booths. Verse 15, and they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches, branches of wild olive, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of thick trees, to make booths as it is written. So the people went, and they did so. Now look at this. It is so embarrassing. Verse 17, and all the assembly of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths, and dwelt in the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. Now, think of that. Roughly, they had kept it according to the specifications that set forth in Leviticus chapter 23, one time in the day of Joshua. And for almost 1,000 years, they had never kept that feast until this time. Now, it had been observed, you'll find, by reading in the days of Kings and also earlier in Ezra, but it had not been observed according to its fullness. They may have kept it, but then they might have said to themselves, well, yes, we'll keep this feast, but this business of breaking down branches from trees and building booths to live in them, look at our comfortable homes. We don't want to do that anymore. And so they had not thusly kept the feast for 1,000 years. But finally, and thank God for this, the word of God is read once again, and it dawns upon the people, but here is something that's written that we have not been doing, and we want to do it. And so then, after 1,000 years, they made up for the error of the past, and they observed the Feast of Tabernacles once again. Now, think of this. It's somewhat like the nation of Israel, that at first they kept that Feast of Tabernacles when God was working with Israel. But now Israel has been set aside for length of days. But in the coming day, they are going to realize that this Feast of Tabernacles is to be kept, and it is part of their heritage. All right. I told you that the Feast of Tabernacles was the last resurrection of the redeemed of God. It is Christ, the first fruit, they that are Christ at his coming. But now notice, you'll find that when you had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it lasted 7 days, and 7 is the number of endurance, of perpetuity. It means this. They were to eat unleavened bread. And what was the significance of unleavened bread? It meant they were to continually remember how they had been afflicted in Egypt. But also, you'll find in the New Testament that unleavened bread meant holiness of life, purity of life. It meant sins removed from their lives. And so what does God tell us to do? And notice this. As soon as Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is to begin. Do you know when you're to start living a holy life for God? The moment that you trust Christ as your Passover, when you know that he is your Passover who died for your sins, immediately God expects you to live a life of purity and of holiness. Now, the Passover a feast of one day. Why? Because it's something that happened once, and it was never to happen again. A once-for-all thing. But this feast of unleavened bread, I told you that seven is the number of duration, the number of completion. And so, how long are we to live holy lives for God for the rest of our lives? Not one day, not spasmodically, but 7 days. And during that period of devotion and consecration to God, it says that they are to eat unleavened bread. This now, I want you to understand that people talk about worshiping God and having religious observances, and they do it alone. They do it in their hearts. But God says, you as individuals are all to appear before me. Every male is to appear before me. What does it mean? It means that while we are to go into our closet by ourselves and pray unto God in secret, there are times when God wants us to come out of our closet and come together in a place like this and collectively worship God, keep the feast, give something to God, because that is what he insisted. Every time the children of Israel came, he said, you're to come to these feasts, but you're not to come before me empty. And that is why I rejoice that we have this remembrance feast when we can come and give something to God. This morning, a handful of us were here, but we gave to God songs of praise. We stood to our feet and we worshiped God. We came and we gave God something. And God said, that is the way feasts are to be attended. And let me exhort you, brethren. You are to come every week with something to give to God. You are to come every week prepared to give something to men. Why? Because it says, and I will quote this to you, you shall not appear before me empty. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, what is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one of you, every one of you, has, and it mentions something that they bring. And some of the things they bring are for the people of God. But also God is seeking worshipers, and we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And so when we come, we are to come for something for God, first of all. And we are to come for something, with something for the people of God as well. And thinking of that, brethren, never come empty. It says, you shall not appear before me empty. And so each Lord's Day, while I am praying that God will give me something for you, I also pray that God will give me something for him, that he will give me utterance, that I shall be a worshiper of God and give him something and not appear empty, as well as a teacher of men and not appear and give them nothing, appear before them empty. And do you take this to heart? Each Lord's Day when we men come to remember our Savior, we should have something to give to God. And the only reason we do not give it to God is that some brother in order has stood up and given to God first. So when you come, understand, you are there to give to God. And God is expecting it, so do not be silent, or you have appeared before God empty. Come prepared. This is what God will teach us. Much more, later perhaps. But now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that what you tell us in words in the New Testament you have shown us beforehand, in feasts, in tabernacles, in actions, in rituals, in the Old Testament. We are thankful for the things that we can take to heart. Our God, forgive us when we come wanting to get something. There are times when you say, come and give me something. So let us keep that paramount. Let us remember that we are to come and have something for God, first of all, and then something for the people of God. And let us not be silent, but let the Spirit give us utterance, and let us be susceptible to the leading of the Spirit of God, and let there not be dead silences, our Lord, but let there be silences of worship and adoration. But then, let us have our baskets full and our hearts overflowing, and let us rise to our feet and worship you, our Father, in spirit and in truth. Bless us from the lessons we study tonight, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.